This is the Beer of the Day podcast.
From Beer of the Day World Headquarters in Elk Grove, California. This is the Beer of the Day podcast. Tonight, our mission is to determine the greatest porter in the world. And we have 9 different porters to try from throughout the country and different styles of porter as well. I'm Dallas Helliker. Joining me tonight, here in studio, Jeff Miller and Joel Miner and Britton Miner. Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hey, everyone.
This is the long-awaited porter show. I mean, we have been collecting porters, and they've been piling up out there in the vault for quite a while, and I'm really looking forward to trying some of these.
This is my jam. I am excited for this.
And one of these is a winter seasonal porter, so good time of year to be doing this.
It's good to see you in person, Jeff.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
Usually we see you on a computer screen.
Yeah.
I like these in-person podcasts. It just seems to flow very well, and I like that.
You sound better, too.
Well, thank you.
Let's get into the first beer of the night. We have, and we are going in order from low ABV to high ABV on this show. The first beer is from Mammoth Brewing Company in Mammoth Lakes, California. This is the Double Nut Brown, 5.5%.
So I'm looking at Dallas's pour, and it looks fairly clear.
It's got a little bit of a mahogany flavor to it. I mean,
very clear for a porter.
To it.
Yeah, it is quite clear. You can see through it a little bit. I mean, normally porters are quite dark. But this is a Coca-Cola colored, maybe even a little lighter than Coca-Cola. And it has a thin white head, maybe just off-white tan, light tan head.
Oh, it smells fantastic.
It smells a bit nutty. Like a brown ale, a little nutty.
It does. So I think that might be a thing here where in these lighter porters to begin with might be kind of bordering on brown ales. And then as we get farther into the show, we're going to get into the true porters. I do get some brown sugar on the aroma, a little cinnamon maybe.
Now, this is a beer that I actually picked up at the brewery a couple weeks ago. Mammoth Lakes is a ski resort, and it's also like a summer destination in the eastern Sierras, just a little bit south of Lake Tahoe. And I was up there skiing for a weekend, went to the brewery and brought this back. They make a lot of great beers, and this is one that they're well known for. I think it maybe won some GABF medal in the past.
So what surprises me is that it feels like a little bit thin. It's got like a little bit of a thin mouthfeel, but it packs in a ton of flavor for what's there. And I really like that.
Yeah, I get the brown ale taste, it's kind of a traditional brown ale taste, but then there's a smokiness in the aftertaste and like a little bit of that campfire stout type of taste where it's sweet and maybe a little marshmallow or something going on, a little bit of that smokiness from a campfire. It's really interesting beer.
So it has something in it that I don't like, and to me it tastes like the glue they use in your braces at the dentist's office. It's got some sort of weird enamel burning like taste to it that I do not like. So,
oh, that's a bummer.
I don't know about that.
I don't either.
What I get is definitely some like burnt caramel malt flavors. But what I find interesting in some porters when you have that sort of burnt coffee, the rich flavors, but also hops that tend to be like a citrusy taste and not super citrusy like a lot of IPAs. But when you find a porter like this, obviously it has hops in it, but when you find like the hops sort of contrast a little bit with the malt, and I get a little bit of this in this beer.
I can see how you're getting hops in that. Like I said earlier, I just think it's packed full of flavor. It's I feel like it's really enjoyable.
Good one to get it started off with. All right. Well, before we get into the next beer, anyone have any interesting beers this week they wanted to mention?
Yeah, I had one that I wanted to mention. I had it on my own earlier this week, and we all tried it as a group just a little bit ago. It was a beer that Hugo actually picked up from a friend via Beer Trade from the East Coast. It's the Pineapple Milkshake IPA from Tired Hands in Pennsylvania. And we really enjoyed it. It was, you know, had some pineapple flavor, but also some peach and mango. It's one of these juicy, hazy IPAs. We did a hazy IPA beer podcast a few, you know, last month. And we liked those, but this was one of the better ones for sure. And it had some lactose in it, which really, I think, contributed to the creamy mouthfeel of the beer. And it was not at all bitter. So if you are looking for a non-bitter IPA, I really enjoyed it. And Tired Hands makes a lot of great beers. So this was an excellent one, the Pineapple Milkshake IPA.
Yeah, if you're going to call an IPA a milkshake, there better be some type of lactose in there. I had one. Yesterday I went to the Art of Beer. It's like a kind of a beer festival in Sacramento. And they have it every year the last 3 or 4 years. And they have beer, all the Sacramento breweries and Sierra Nevada and Firestone and some other bigger ones are there. And then they had food vendors, and it's all included in the one price. And they had some beer-related art. And it's a pretty neat event. This year was more packed than usual, so it was a little bit longer lines. I think maybe they need to either get a bigger room or limit the number of tickets they sell, because it was a little bit crazy this year. But the best beer I had out of all the ones I tried was from Moonraker, which is a brewery in Auburn that's been open about a year now. And they had their Dojo Double IPA, which is like a stronger variant of their Yojo, which is one of their big beers. And that's another juicy New England style IPA. But they packed such a lot of hop flavor in it that it wasn't, you know, some of those juicy Northeast IPAs become too juice-like and not like a beer. And this really had a pretty strong hop flavor also. So maybe a little bit of a melding between West and East Coasts, and just a solid beer. So if you ever get a chance to try Moonraker, definitely an up-and-coming brewery in the Sacramento area.
I've been hearing good things about them, and I live in Southern California, so I would echo what Dallas said.
Okay, let's get into the next beer. We have from Tioga Sequoia Brewing Company in Fresno. This is the Sugar Pine Cocoa Vanilla Porter. And this is one we've been hanging on to for a while. I think Jeff went to this brewery or was driving through Fresno and bought several of these beers, and we've had it in the vault for maybe a year now. So I'm glad we're finally getting to try this one.
Yeah, I've really only seen these in the Central Valley, like Bakersfield, Fresno, that area. So maybe in the future they'll have more distribution, but we've enjoyed the beers we've had in the past from them.
So this one is much darker than the last one, not see-through. Can't really. There's like a kind of an amber jewel at the bottom of the glass, and I'm noticing that the head is a lot more tan than on the last beer.
Yeah, this is definitely more your traditional porter color.
And smell too, I think.
Yeah, this one I have, it's pretty reserved on the aroma, but I do get a little molasses on the aroma.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, but once you take a sip, it's vanilla. I mean, it's in the name, and that really comes through right off the bat.
I think it's pretty aptly named, actually, isn't it? Vanilla, cocoa vanilla? Yeah, it's exactly what it tastes like.
I'm shocked that it's only 5.5%. And not because you get a lot of alcohol flavor, just because of how thick the beer is. Obviously, you get a real thick beer, and people will cram, you know, a lot of sugar in there to bring up the ABV. It doesn't have a lot of, you know, at 5.5%, it doesn't have a lot of the alcohol hit to it, which is actually really enjoyable.
Yeah. A lot of times you get a beer with a full mouth. Let me turn it around. If you have a beer that has low ABV, sometimes you get a lighter mouthfeel,
yep,
like that first beer we had. This one maintains a pretty thick, heavy mouthfeel, even though it's low ABV.
And I like that because sometimes they just try to pump up the ABV so much, and this one is—it's kind of its own characteristic because it's really heavy mouthfeel, but it has good amount of flavor, but it doesn't have a high level of ABV or high alcohol content.
Well, I like that because as a person who really loves porter and stouts and wants to drink them all year round, like having one that has a little bit of a like thick mouthfeel, but still has really good flavor and is very drinkable, where it's like, sometimes I feel like some porters and stouts, it's almost like you're chewing them, and that's okay in the wintertime, but in the summertime, you want something that's a little bit more drinkable, and I could drink this one in the summertime and be fine with it.
I could drink it in the morning.
Morning coffee.
When I first wake up.
Morning beer.
Yeah, that's interesting because it does have some of the characteristics of like an iced coffee, but definitely some chocolate. I enjoy this beer. I think it's... Porters in general to me have a lighter body, and you know, everything you guys just said is completely spot on, but I like the drinkability of a porter any time of the year, and this is one that any time of the day you could drink.
So. Yeah, absolutely.
It's very good, and cocoa and vanilla, that's what I'm getting. It's great.
Yeah, the cocoa hits you right up front to me, and then the vanilla is kind of in comes through in the aftertaste.
And there's really like no bitterness with this beer, or, you know, probably most of these beers. It's like a malty finish, and, you know, some people don't like a bitter beer, and these are ones that are, I think, easy to drink if you like the roasted malt, the coffee, the chocolate type of flavors, and this definitely has all of those in it.
One thing that I would say is I wouldn't necessarily describe this beer as sweet, but it does seem to finish sweet. So as you're drinking it, like it's not like it's more like the cocoa. And then as you're finishing with the vanilla, it gets sweeter.
Yeah. The thing about it is cocoa can sometimes be bitter, and dark malts can sometimes have kind of a rye bite to it that is a little bit more abrasive, not super easy to drink. This doesn't have that. The cocoa is not like... bittersweet cocoa. It's kind of sweet. And then the vanilla kind of comes in and kind of makes it adds more sweetness and makes it more drinkable.
It's a little decadent. Like, I mean, it could be, it's not sweet, but it could be a dessert beer.
Yeah.
I mean, this would be great with after a meal with a piece of pie, something like that.
Totally.
Definitely.
Or in the morning with some oatmeal.
Yeah, certainly. Speaking of oatmeal, let's get into the next beer. We have an oatmeal porter. This is from Highland Brewing Company in Asheville, North Carolina, moving up to 5.9%.
How did you guys acquire this beer?
This is one we got from Tavour. Tavour is a service we went through it on the last podcast, but it's a service that's an app on your phone, and they feature several different beers a day, and if you want the beer, you just say, buy it, and they add it to your box, and they ship it to you once a month. So we haven't really talked about this too much because we wanted to make sure it was good, but the beers they tend to put out are high quality, and you get to try beers from all around the country, and it's not super expensive. It's just maybe a dollar or two more than you would pay in the store for the same beer. So it's a pretty good deal. And if you go to Tavour, tavour.beeroftheday.com, or to make it simple, go to tav.beeroftheday.com, it will take you to Tavour. You sign up, and then we'll get $10 credit, and then we'll be able to use that to purchase more beer for this podcast. Good thing about it is a lot of people write in and ask, how do you get the beers that we have on this show? And some of the beers you'll be able to get through Tavour. So that's one way that you can get beers. Like being in California, we have listeners in Cincinnati or wherever, and they can't get a lot of the same beers that we have. So this is one way that beer drinkers all around the country can get similar beers and really good quality. They don't put out crappy beers. So it's quite good.
And this one's from Asheville, North Carolina, which we've talked many times about going there. It's definitely a future beercation destination. And
has to be. There's 120 breweries in 100-mile radius.
Yeah, so every beer we get to try from Asheville, I enjoy because it's just preparation for a future trip as far as I see it.
So this one pours, it's a little bit clearer than the last one, but not as clear as the first one. It's a little bit lighter. But what is really piquing my interest is the aroma. It really smells like a barrel-aged stout or something. Like, it's got like that soy sauce type thing going on that is interesting to me in a porter.
It does. And very sweet in the aroma.
Yes.
You can, it just gives off sugar in the aroma.
You know, and I wouldn't think that's the oatmeal giving off that aroma, but maybe it is. I mean, it's unique for a porter. There's plenty of oatmeal porters out there, but that aroma, I think, is unique for a porter.
And so little brown sugar. And when I really get my nose in the glass and really take it in, I do smell the oatmeal, like the actual oats of it.
I'm getting some sort of like wood. Maybe it's like oak or something, but just a hint of it. Yeah. But I just took a sip of it. I don't taste any oak, but it is, you know, it smells really good.
Woodsy. It has like a woodsy taste.
Yeah, like a dry wood, not like a wet wood.
Mm-hmm. I think a little bit of vanilla also. I like this. It's got a very creamy mouthfeel, and I like how smooth. It's like a silky, like velvety mouthfeel.
It's lower carbonation, which I think leads to that.
Yeah.
I get a lot of the caramel type of taste on my tongue, and for some reason the creaminess and the lower carbonation really allows you to fully taste the beer.
I enjoy this. It's like silky smooth, easy to drink. I mean, it's only 5.9%. It's not a heavy, like high alcohol beer. It's lighter body, but super flavorful.
Yes,
there's something tripping me up here, and it is that I am getting something slightly to moderately floral, and I've never tasted that in a porter before.
Yeah, I'm not getting that. I'm getting more of like a butter and an oak flavor and a caramel flavor that's just really enjoyable. This is a great beer.
I'm getting some earthy hops. Maybe that's the floral or earthiness of it. It you know, it's not citrusy. It's not piney, but I get some hops on the finish. And maybe that's what you're getting?
I don't know. It's like jasmine, like floral, not citrus. Like, I don't know. Dallas, what do you think?
I like it a lot. I don't get the floral. I just get all the dark of the malts, but reserved. I get a lot of that smooth caramel.
Yeah.
You know, on the aroma, I get more of oats than I do on the taste. It's like it's the taste is just, it's like dessert to me. It's really sweet, really well balanced, and just so smooth.
I don't think it's that sweet. To me, it's a very balanced beer. It's got some hops, and the malts are there. I just think it's a very well-rounded beer.
Yeah. It's like bread and butter, but like that soft, nice, dark bread that you're mm-hmm. longing for with some bread in the oven.
Yeah, and like not the rye bread, but maybe, you know, I don't think there's rye in this, but that dark rye breadiness, the bready malts.
We like this one.
And now let's get into the beer news of the day. All right, well, we're not too far into the new year, and I wanted to bring this article up because it made some good points. Originally, I was going through it, and I was like, well, I was skeptical. But then as I read the article, it kind of won me over, and I agreed with a lot of the points. So these are the craft beer trends that need to go away in 2017. And number one on the list, and this is going to be the most controversial one, but it says poorly made hazy IPAs. And so we have this trend right now. Everyone wants to make the Northeast style hazy IPA, and everyone is rushing to put out their version of it. And they're saying that the quality on some of these knockoffs basically aren't that good. Whether it's putting out an IPA and, you know, throwing flour in it to make it hazy, or, you know, doing some hack during the brewing process that will make it hazy, you know, just to approximate the style. But I think that the point is these Northeast brewers have been doing this for a while, and they have developed the style, and they kind of have it figured out. So there's some breweries in the Sacramento area in LA that have done it right, and there's some that maybe not quite there yet.
It's a very fair point. I mean, none of us want bad quality beer, and there's some hazy IPAs that I enjoy, and, you know, I'm all for getting rid of bad quality beers. Who's opposed to that? Nobody.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that, but I think also that beer is very subjective, right? Like, what you might like, others might not. And so to say that something is a bad beer, for the most part, is subjective, unless it's like a unanimous decision, like, this is a terrible beer, right?
Unless they're taking shortcuts to, like,
right,
produce something that is not, it's not what it's supposed to be.
So there's some right. breweries that have these hazy IPAs, and they get the keg of it at Old Town Pizza, and in the morning it pours clear.
Okay.
And then in the afternoon, when things get stirred up a little bit, it's cloudy. And when you have a beer that is that inconsistent, you know, or, oh, it's cloudy once it cuts off the truck and the keg's all churned up. But then after it sits for 2 days and then you pour it and it's clear.
Or what about our experience that we had when we had a keg that was probably the bottom, the first keg off the big vat, you know, we had a keg that was almost trub. At a bar, what, how long ago was that? Like maybe
two weeks ago.
And it's like, man, and they end up saying that was probably the first keg off that vat. And so you get just a bunch of crap in it and it was not good.
Yeah, but you think after a while you learn, okay, the first one you dump and then, you know, you got to have some quality standards.
But that comes back to what Jeff is saying, that what we want is good quality beer. So whatever you need to implement in your production to make sure that you're getting good quality beer and consistently good quality beer, that's what we're looking for.
I mean, there's high quality hazy IPAs. There's high quality, super clear, transparent IPAs. It's a different style and everybody has different preferences. But I think everybody who appreciates good beer just wants high quality beer.
And I want consistent beer. I want to go to spot A and have a beer on tap. And if I can find that same beer on tap on spot B, I want the same taste.
Number two, using crushable as an adjective to describe beer. I agree with this one completely. I read a lot of beer reviews. I write a lot of beer reviews. I've never once used the word crushable.
I was going to say, I've never heard this.
I think of Bud Light where you poke a hole in the bottom so you can chug it. That is crushable.
Or like Andy used to crush cans on his head. Is that like that what we're talking about?
They say crushable is one where you can drink a lot of them, you know, and we say that in a review. Oh, you could have a lot of these really easily. But and that's what crushable means. But it's this word that gets used too much.
It's like sessionable, but more like douchey.
It's douchey. And I go on Beer Advocate and read the reviews that people write. It's too many people that say crushable, crushable, crushable.
That was my nickname in college.
It's crushable, man.
I want a beer that has flavor. I don't want a beer that I can just pound over and over again. I'm too old for that.
Yeah, quality over quantity.
Yeah.
Number three, the obsession with new weird brews. Now, so the guy says he was at a brewery with great solid beer, varied list, pills, a few IPAs, a rye pale, a nitro milk stout, a Russian imperial stout. And his friend looks at the chalkboard and says with disappointment, why don't they change up the list here? Come on. Yes, you want to go to a brewery. You want to try something new. And on this show, every beer we try is new and we get obsessed with new. And so I understand that what drives that frame of mind and that thinking, line of thinking. But last weekend I went to Britton and Joel's cabin up in Kybers, and I went to the store and I was looking for beer to get. And I said, you know what? I'm going to get some tried and true beers and let's go with that. So I got a 12 pack of Hop Hunter, Sierra Nevada. And I got the variety pack, winter variety pack of Sierra Nevada. And that'll get into the next news story. But all solid beers, all perfectly drinkable. We've had them before. And both Joel and I commented at how good Hop Hunter is. such a great beer. You can just drink that one all night. And so there's something to be said about going with just the tried and true, and you don't have to try a different new beer you've never had before every single time you drink beer.
Well, and I think we've talked about this a little bit before. Some breweries do say, like, okay, we're not ever going to brew the same beer twice. And I respect the experimentation of that, but at the same time, from, like, I come from a marketing background, like, you want staples that people are going to come back for, right? Me personally, I'm a creature of habit. Like, as soon as I find something that I like, I will continue to return to that because I'm a creature of habit and go, okay, well, I want, you know, Winter Solstice every time because I know that I like that beer. So I think there are two sides to that coin, but.
So I put something up on our Instagram page very recently, probably 2 weeks ago, where same mentality. It's like, there's so much new beer that comes out and I like the new beer. But I just sat down and had a Pliny the Elder, which I know is not easy for everybody to get, but I just wanted to sit down and have a tried and true, excellent beer, not think about it too much because I know the flavor, I know the beer very well, and just to sit down in my yard and enjoy that beer. And that was a great event for me.
Yeah, there's something to say about that because beer of the day, we're trying new beer all the time to write reviews, take pictures. It's work, right? If you drink a beer, it's a lot of times it's a kind of a job. And to drink a beer that you've had 1,000 times and you don't have to think about, you just drink it and enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty good. All right, continuing with the list here. Tap lists that haven't been updated, and that happens from time to time. Multiple beers. Double Bock. Belgian triple, quad Belgian quad, triple IPA. It's like they keep going more and more with the multiples, the quintuple, whatever. That annoyed them. I don't know
if I agree with that.
I like being able to say single IPA, double IPA. I know what I'm getting from those types of styles, you know? So I kind of like the distinction there, but I do know there's not that much difference between a double IPA and a triple IPA.
But I'd be mad if something was sort of mislabeled in my mind. If you sit down and have an IPA that's 9% and completely like sweet malts and super hoppy, and it's really like a double or a triple IPA, but it's labeled as a IPA, it's not what you were looking for.
I think maybe what they were trying to get at there, though, is like, okay, we're starting, our breweries starting to push the limits, like, okay, well, we have a triple IPA, now we're going to brew a quad IPA, and then it's going to be a quintuple IPA. Like, if they continue to try to raise the bar, that does seem ridiculous. But the established, like, categories that we have now don't seem ridiculous to me.
Yeah. That one misses a little bit for me. Where this thing really hits its stride is pedal bars. There's an epidemic plaguing our beloved craft beer industry. It's an infestation overwhelming brewery tasting rooms across the country. Not kettle sours or hazy IPAs or overhyped beers or triple mocha almond vanilla red velvet cinnamon porters. It's the unrelenting wave of assholes rolling from brewery to brewery on soulless ghost ships known as pedal hoppers. These vessels of douchery are not here to awaken its passengers to the marvels of your cities and neighborhoods' budding craft beer scenes. Their sole purpose is to deliver as much debauchery to these interlopers under the guise of sightseeing.
That was poetic. Whomever wrote that is my hero.
Those are those like six people like wagons where they all just mm-hmm. get together as a party and like, oh yeah, and they have like a tour guide.
Yeah,
it's like it seems like an expensive way to get drunk, right? Like
just Uber.
If you want to get drunk, just go get drunk.
This guy says that a lot of craft breweries have banned it because when they get there, they ask, "You have Fireball? Oh, got any normal beer, light beer, American beer?" You know, they're just yeah. there to get drunk and yeah. they're not there to enjoy beer.
Yeah.
So I enjoyed that one. One I completely agree with: wax dipped beer bottles.
I didn't want to. I can't even talk. So frustrated.
As John Oliver would say, "How is this still a thing?" Actually, how was it ever a thing? It really serves no purpose. It's a cheap marketing ploy. It's not expensive to dip a bottle in wax, So, but you, and you get this air of quality. Oh, it's dipped in wax, but it's a pain in the ass to anyone who wants to drink the beer, and it serves no purpose.
I understand that, but I sort of disagree to a level, because I think as long as you save it for like the special release, like an anniversary beer, something really rare where it gets better with age and it has a cork in it, I think it serves a purpose.
Just put some foil on it or put a little bow on top of it. I do not need wax that I have to fight through to get it open.
I agree with Jeff on the cork thing, but like, I don't know. If you have a shitty capping system, I guess, then maybe you want to wax it. But if it's just purely for like ornamentation, it's dumb.
No. Capping is easy. You can buy a $20 device to do it. It's not that complicated.
And the last one, IPAs with garbage added to them. Now, this is the thing. Right now, just this week, Sierra Nevada came out with their sidecar, their pale ale with orange juice added to it or whatever. It's like their orange IPA. And they came up with their torpedo, but with
tropical
pineapple added to it. And I had the beer last weekend. It's fine. I had a taste of it last night as well at the beer
Dallas. That's Art what I beer. Call serviceable. It was serviceable.
Now it's
was it crushable?
No.
The issue is that they're not selling pale ale anymore. I mean, it's not flying off the shelves. People have moved on to other stuff. They're grapefruit Sculpin or they're, you know, whatever. So in order to stay competitive, they're having to put out a beer that is a little more universally palatable. So their orange pale ale and the grapefruit pineapple IPA is what their answer is. But I don't know. I think the beers were fine. I don't think you need to add garbage to them.
I think that some of the adding garbage to things is going to be somewhat of a fad that is going to pass. And breweries like Sierra Nevada are going to have to continue to put out their staples like pale ale, because people will revert back to them for the same reason that we said we would earlier for, you know, like you want to go back to like a home base or one that you've had 1,000 times that you know exactly what it tastes like and you like it. And pale ale, I think for a lot of people is that beer.
But yeah. I think a lot of like our craft beer industry right now is at an interesting spot where there's a ton of good IPAs out there. And I appreciate like the experimentalness of it and trying new things. I mean, we do want to try new beers, and a lot of it will be a fad that just goes away, but some of it will stick. And I mean, every once in a while there's an IPA where there's something added to it that's really tasty. But I think you have to try a lot of different things until you find one of those that really works. And so I'm okay with that, but sometimes it is a little too extreme where you go to a place where there's 5 IPAs and every one of them has something added to it where it's like, geez, I just want a normal IPA.
Agreed.
All
right, really quick, the other news story. If you're drinking Sierra Nevada beer and you don't live in California, then make sure that you're not drinking glass shards.
Yeah, that was all over the news.
All over the news. Doesn't affect us here, but it can affect some people. So be careful out there if your Sierra Nevada is North Carolina Sierra Nevada.
Mm.
Okay, let's get into the next beer. This is one, probably the one I was most looking forward to looking at the lineup tonight. It is from Bootleggers Brewery in Fullerton, California. This is the Mint Chocolate Porter.
I was looking forward to this one too. I've never had a mint beer before, so that's like a new territory.
This is another one that our buddy Hugo picked up. He is...
Shout out to Hugo.
Yeah, you know, he's one of our LA area coordinators, and he, man, every weekend he's going around to different breweries, and he was, it's probably 2 weeks ago, he was in Fullerton, which is a suburb of LA, and he picked up this amongst, you know, many other beers, and we've had a lot of beers from Bootleggers that we liked, and I'm looking forward to this as well.
I like when Joel takes a whiff of a beer and then his smile goes up and he leans back and he's like, oh boy.
So it smells exactly like I wanted it to.
So the mint, you can smell mint, but you can also feel the mint.
Yes.
Which is great. This is going to have something to it, and I'm excited to try it.
It smells exactly like I hoped it would, which is to say that it is like the malty, the dark cocoa like characteristics with mint on it. It smells a little bit like mint chocolate chip ice cream. I'm excited to taste it.
I don't like mint, and so I don't know if I'm going to like this, but when I smell it, it smells like those little green mint candy wrapper.
Like the Andes ones?
Andes, yes. Yes.
Exactly.
Like those, yeah. Also a little Girl Scout cookie-ish.
Mm-hmm. It's everything I ever wanted it to be.
It's not bad. I like it. I mean, the mint's there, but it's not overwhelming.
Which I think that is important because you could really easily overdo it. And I don't find it overwhelming. Joel's shaking his head.
So if you take some Winter Fresh and you chew in some gum and you go to the bar and you forget to spit out your gum and you ask for a porter and it has some chocolatey taste to it, you're getting, this is what the beer you're going to get.
Yeah,
just
agree.
Grab some Winter Fresh gum and drink a porter. That's what you're going to get.
The chocolate, I think, is too reserved in this beer. I could use more chocolate. And because the chocolate is low, the mint takes over.
Yep.
And it tastes like green NyQuil to me.
And this is a winter seasonal. I'm looking at the bottle, and again, this is from a suburb of LA, and it's just the label has a picture of a barn completely covered with snow. It's never snowed in Fullerton. But it's interesting. This is one that I think is appropriate for this time of year.
And it's not a bad beer. It's just, I feel like I've had this taste before on accident because I've been chewing gum.
So
it's a little medicinal to me. Is my, I won't say NyQuil, but I will say a little bit medicinal on the mint.
Applying Andy's trademarked third sip rule, it is cocoa-y, but the kind of mint that I'm getting right now is like the mint water that they use, the dental hygienist uses to wash out like when she cleans your teeth.
Yep.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I do.
It's like slightly watery.
I mean, it's a light-bodied beer.
And I think
I get it.
It's not a bad beer. There's going to be people who buy this beer and they're going to absolutely love it. It's just not up my alley.
I almost wish they would have put, if they haven't, then I wish they would have. And if they have, then I wish they would have upped it like some lactose in it too to make it creamy.
Yeah.
To like carry the mint and the chocolate.
And it could be that that last beer was really creamy. And so it's a little bit of an adjustment.
Yeah. It's good.
It's almost like it's molasses instead of chocolate. It's that sort of sweetness, but not the.
It's very light on the cocoa.
It's not the chocolate.
Yeah, I'm glad I tried it, but I don't think I'd ever come back to it again.
All right, well, we're going to take our break. When we come back, we have our strange brew, followed by four more different porters. All that when we come back, right here on the Beer of the Day podcast. All right, if you enjoyed this podcast, sure, you can shop on Amazon through our website. Sure, you can go to Tavor and sign up. But if you really want to help us, then share this podcast with your beer-drinking friends. That's the best way that we can spread the word about Beer of the Day, increase our listenership, is if you tell your friends about us. Most people don't know what a podcast is or how to listen to one. So sometimes that requires you to show them how to get the podcast app on their phone and how to subscribe to it. And then you can also rate and review us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. And that helps us move up the rankings, make us more visible. And that's how we get more listeners here. So want to help us out? Tell a friend. Let's get back to the show. Welcome back to the show. This is our Strange Brew segment, where we go out to the fridge and find the strangest beer we can find that fits the theme. Tonight's theme, porters.
strangely enough, our only canned beer tonight as well.
This is the Pachamama Porter from Evil Twin Brewing in collaboration with Two Roads Brewing, Evil Twins in Stratford, Connecticut. This is strange because it's an ale brewed with sweet potatoes, purple mice,
mice.
Yeah, not mice.
Mice, like corn?
That's Peruvian.
And Aji Panka chili peppers.
Ahi.
Aji Panka.
Doesn't smell very strange.
Yeah, it doesn't really smell.
There's not much aroma to speak of.
I mean, it smells like a porter, but it does not smell like a strange brew porter.
Yeah, a little bit of malt. A little bit of roasted malt and a little bit of molasses smell, but not much at all.
And it looks like a porter. It's all of these sort of look a little thin. I mean, none of them have a thick body, but it's sort of the dark Coca-Cola color, dark brownish with a little red hints to it with a fairly thick foamy head, tan head.
Yeah, I mean, I'm tasting it. It's like it's a little sweet on the porter side. Just tastes like they didn't wash the sweet potatoes too much. Get a lot of dirt flavor to it. But there's not really too much to this one. It's just a porter with a little bit of dirt flavor.
The first thing I notice is that I don't get any chili pepper at all.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently Aji Panka is not a super hot chili pepper. But I was still expecting something from that, and I'm not getting any of it.
Me either. I'm not really getting much sweet potatoes. I don't know about purple mice.
It's got kind of like a dry, like chalky, like powdery mouthfeel, which is, you know, I like from time to time in a beer. There's a little bit of a malt.
Are you guys getting that dirt flavor, the earthy?
Yeah, some earthy hops. Yeah. It's, earthy. I don't know how else to describe it.
I feel like I actually am getting a little bit of a corn flavor. Like, if you think of some of like the lagers we've had or some of the ales we've had that like have that corn in it, like I feel like I can pick that out, but it's very subtle.
There's a really lingering flavor, like it leaves a mouth coating when you're done. If you just take a sip and then just, you know, wait 10 or 20 seconds, you taste this sort of numbing mouth coating that is pleasant. It's not bad, but it's dry.
It is dry. I do think the chili peppers are there. It's really reserved, and it's a cumulative effect where you have to drink 3, 4, 5 sips for you to be able to taste it on the aftertaste. But I think it's very subtle, which, in my opinion, is the only way to do a chili pepper beer.
Yep.
But it's so subtle in this case that it's barely perceptible. But I do think it is perceptible.
I don't feel like we're giving this beer justice, because I will tell you that if I was poured a pint of this, I'd really enjoy drinking it. I mean, it's got good flavors. It's just unique in the aspect that it's not what it claims to be. Well, I wouldn't say it's not what it claims to be. It's just you're not getting those distinct flavors that that's advertising.
Correct. When we have a strange brew, we expect it to be strange.
This isn't strange at all. I don't think
there's nothing strange about this beer.
Yeah, it's very pleasant. You know, the mint chocolate porter we had earlier was much
stranger
in the category.
I think what it is, though, like when we talk about the earthiness of this, I think it really mutes like any sort of chocolate and coffee and toffee type of flavors that you traditionally get in a porter. And this tastes much more like it's just earthy, and it doesn't have these robust flavors that a lot of porters have.
I completely agree with everything Joel said. I think he hit the nail on the head. It's very enjoyable. It's very drinkable. But as far as what it is advertised to be, I'm not really getting any of what it's advertised to be.
Yeah, not a bad beer, though.
No,
it's,
not at all.
It's totally drinkable.
Okay, well, let's move into the next one. We have from Hop and Frog Brewing Company in Akron, Ohio. We have Infusion, a coffee porter.
Sounds like a a movie for a beer.
So I've had a couple of this brewery's beers on tap when I've been in Cincinnati, and so I'm actually looking forward to trying this infusion coffee porter. I've always been impressed with their beers.
It was the easiest bottle I've ever opened. The cap came off almost like it wasn't on all the way.
Maybe they should have put some wax around it.
So this one pours darker. Still kind of an amber ruby jewel at the bottom.
Oh, the flavor is impressive on this one. Just lots of chocolate malts.
I'm selling the aroma. Yeah, the aroma is...
It's amazing.
Super inviting.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about, the aroma.
It smells like the best like handcrafted mocha that you've ever had. Like that espresso, dark roast coffee with like quality cocoa. That's what it smells like to me.
Yeah, I mean, this is our first coffee porter of the night. It's really our only coffee porter. And there's a lot of coffee porters out there, but it really comes through on the nose. I mean, it's coffee, it's chocolate, it's very rich and robust.
That's one of the most aromatic beers I've ever smelled.
Yeah, I hope it tastes half as good as it smells.
It does.
It's such an overwhelming aroma with the coffee.
It's fantastic.
Wow.
So I feel like a lot of times with coffee porters and coffee stouts, there's a tendency to overdo the coffee, right? And then it's like it's either too bitter or it feels like it's an over-extracted coffee with the beer. This one, they've done it perfectly, where it doesn't taste like freeze-dried coffee. It doesn't taste like too much coffee. It's definitely coffee, but it's the perfect amount.
Yeah, I think you said like it's a well-crafted like mocha, but it's beer. And you're not getting any of the dairy flavor, but it is amazing.
I get some of that, though. Like, I get a lot of the coffee, but I get like a vanilla cream consistency.
But just not the milk flavor. I mean, you get the feel of the like the creaminess of it, but I don't get the milk, which is nice in a beer. You want the beer to overtake it.
I get some. Like, there might be some lactose in here. I don't know if there is, but I get like the creaminess from... You know, I drink a ton of coffee, but I always add in like some sort of half and half or something. And I get a lot of that flavor to sort of round out the bitterness that some coffee can have.
This beer is quite sweet, too. Like, it took me a sip just to get accustomed to it because it's definitely a notch up on the sweetness than we had on the previous beers. But ton of flavor here. I mean, they're really packing in a lot. And the coffee, it really actually... makes me think I'm getting some caffeine, even though I know that's not the case with coffee beers, but it kind of is waking me up a little bit psychologically.
I feel like I'm pretty picky about my coffee, and I'm picky about my beer. And in general, I am disappointed with coffee beers because I feel like most of the time the coffee is overemphasized and it's like overwhelming. This one I feel like is really good. Third sip, the aftertaste is a little bit more coffee-ish than I would like. It's like that, you know, like the leftover coffee in the pot when you drink it cold because you're desperate. And that aftertaste is coming through a little bit, but I still think this is a fantastic beer.
I'm getting a little nuttiness, and I did not get it at first. But I don't know if it's hazelnut or like...
Yeah, it is hazelnut.
Yeah,
is it hazelnut or like peanut or something like...
It's either like amaretto or hazelnut. Yep. It's like that kind of coffee, you know, those flavored coffee things that you...
Yeah.
The Frangelico?
I mean, it's complex because to me, the flavor is changing a bit from the first sip to the second sip to the third sip. And as it warms up, it becomes a little more nutty. I like this beer.
I do too. I'm really impressed with this beer.
Incoming transmission.
You've got mail.
Comments this week. We had a few comments. The Beer of the Day website, every single page has a comment section below it. So you can leave a comment anywhere on the site, on any beer, on any news article, anything you want to comment on, you can do that. And this week we had Held Review, a new member on the site, left a comment on the Lily Ale from Burr Oak Brewing Company in Columbia, Missouri.
Oh, man, that one's good.
My favorite brewery in Columbia.
Yeah, well, Jeff and I went there, and we had this beer that we brought back and had it as our strange brew on one episode, the St. Louis episode. And this, as I recall, this tasted like Fruity Pebbles cereal.
That's one of my favorite strange brews we've ever had.
Yeah.
It's fantastic beer and unlike any beer you've ever had in your life. So if you can find that one, definitely seek it out. Held Review said, I didn't expect anything and I got five beers I want to share with my more open craft beer enthusiasts. Definitely Creamsicle.
Yep.
It does have that creamsicle mm-hmm. taste.
I remember that.
So definitely good beer and I kind of had forgot about it and then until they commented on it. So that was good. From Mumford Brewing, an LA brewery that is up and coming and does a lot of the East Coast type of releases. And they have the whole waiting in line thing, which I love. JM562, my local watering hole, conveniently 4 blocks from where I work. I waited in line for all caps when it was released, and I'll wait again for it. It was nice to see a West Coast IPA back in the game. 4.5% West Side.
JM562 is one of our biggest LA fans. He lives in, I don't know where he lives, but somewhere in the LA area, but he's always out and about at our local, where I live, close to where I live, go to all the great breweries around there.
Yeah. Well, thank you for the comment. And a new user on Beer of the Day, Bubbles, they opened up a new account, I think for the sole purpose of commenting on this beer. They commented on the Idiot IPA from Coronado Brewing Company. Bubbles' comment, my choice of beer for the inauguration. Oh boy. Bubbles is from San Francisco. Anyway, if you have comments and you want to leave them, you can do so on beeroftheday.com. You can go on Facebook. We post the Beer of the Day to Facebook every single day. Facebook.com/TheBeerOfTheDay. We are on Twitter at Beer of the Day, and we post it up there every single day. And on Instagram at Beer of the Day site. You can also email us feedback@BeerOfTheDay.com.
Wasn't Bubbles the name of Michael Jackson's monkey?
It was. Maybe that's the same Bubbles.
Just saying.
All right, let's get into the next beer. We have from Alameda Brewing Company in Alameda. Oh, no. It's in Portland. Portland, Oregon. This is the Stubbs Old Crow Hazelnut Porter.
So that's confused me a couple of times over the last couple of years.
The Alameda Brewery in Portland, Oregon?
Yeah.
Alameda is an island in California, off of Oakland in the bay. So when you're in California and you hear Alameda, you think Alameda Island. Not the case.
There's a distillery in Alameda that I like.
Been there.
Yeah, what it's called, but they make gin and other stuff.
Hangar or something.
Yeah, it's in a hangar at an airport.
24 or something? Hangar 24?
No, that's a brewery.
Oh.
So
Hangar One Vodka.
That's right.
We've had their gin before.
This is a hazelnut porter. I'm not smelling any hazelnut.
I get good aroma. It's just not hazelnut.
I almost feel like I'm getting like molasses and fig.
I could see that, some dark fruit on the aroma. It doesn't smell like a porter. I really like the aroma. But it's not quite what I was anticipating.
Mm-mm. Are you guys getting any pine on the smell?
Yes.
Like the Christmas pine that you see in some of the Christmas porters.
And this is, again, most of these are the same color, but this is a dark brown colored beer. Just a little bit of red highlights. Not as much as some of the other ones. And a pretty dark khaki brown colored, you know, bubbly head.
And really thick head. Like the lacing on that, look at that. It just sticks to the side of the glass.
Tons of lacing on this glass.
So has anybody tried this yet?
Mm-mm.
All
I'm
right.
still swirling.
I actually get a little bit of like chili on the aroma too.
So like, I'm shocked on this beer because the first thing that comes to my mind is, oh, it's got a little bit of like a sour flavor to it.
It does.
Like a sour beer, but not in a bad way.
It's a little tart.
Yeah.
It is tart.
Not what I would have expected.
What is
dark
this?
Dark fruit tart.
Yes. Yeah, I think you're right.
Like, I'm not getting any hazelnut on this at all.
There's some type of Belgian characteristic
yes.
to it, but also a sour characteristic.
Yeah, like a cranberry, like cherry. Yeah, or cranberry.
Yes.
Yeah. But it's not bad. It's just not at all. If someone told me, oh, our...
It's not as described.
our brewery messed up and we accidentally put some sour and some porter together and it turned out pretty good. So we just bottled it. We called it hazelnut. Oh,
if I tasted this sense. Beer without seeing it, I would expect it to be like a sort of red colored, cherry red, slightly sour, like where it's just starting to ferment cherries.
Do we think it went bad?
No, it didn't. I don't think so at all.
It's not bad, but
no. But
this is not a hazelnut.
Did it
porter.
Turn? No, this is not a. Then that's what I mean. Did it turn or something? Like, and I still that is to say, I still like what I'm tasting.
So I don't think it's been contaminated or anything because we're getting a ton of carbonation, and I don't see anything in there that would say that it's contaminated.
I agree.
So it just doesn't taste like hazelnut at all.
I mean, I'm shocked. This is maybe we should do a class action lawsuit on this. This misrepresentation here. No, it's not bad though. It's just unique.
I think it's actually really good.
I like it.
If this is how the beer is intended to be, it's kind of a sour porter and maybe it's just mixing it up from everything we've had tonight, but I really enjoy this flavor.
No, I do too.
The problem is there's nothing on the bottle to describe what they're trying to go for. It's all it is just labeling and the government warning.
I'm just not, I think the thing that I'm most floored by is hazelnut is a pretty like unmistakable flavor and there's none there. None.
I'm getting like dark cherries, figs, prunes, like any yes. sort of dark fruit you can think of. That's what I get from this beer in a slightly tart way.
What do you think, Dal?
I'm just perplexed, you know, it's completely different than any beer we've had tonight. They just need to call it something else. I mean,
like it tastes a little bit like it's barrel aged, which we have a couple barrel aged beers coming up.
I kind of want to try and get another bottle to see like if maybe they should have put wax on the top to make the cap airtight.
No, it's definitely, so there's plenty of carbonation. There's nothing that's wrong with the beer. There's no off-putting like,
no, it's not off-putting at all.
It hasn't gone bad. Like it's just there's
something's not right though. Like this is not a hazelnut porter.
It tastes like a sour porter that is loaded with those dark fruits that you talked about.
But mildly sour. It's not.
No, not
it's
super
tart.
Sour.
I would say it's tart more than it's sour.
I'd say it was like aged in like Pinot Noir barrels or something.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
It gets like a little wine in it or something.
A little woody oak.
It makes it a little bit fruity, which.
Just hints of chocolate, barely any malt roasted.
I actually really like it.
I think it's delicious.
No, it's not bad. That's the thing. It's just confusing because it's not what we're expecting.
So far, this is the best beer tonight.
It's also the strangest beer we've had tonight.
This could be the strange brew. The Old Crow hazelnut porter that tastes like a cherry sour.
All right. For beer number 8. We have the Dirty Old Man Imperial Rye Porter.
I was also looking forward to trying this one because I think that I don't know that I've ever had a rye porter.
You've definitely had a Dirty Old Man.
From Tyrannina. Is that how you pronounce it?
I think so. It's from Wisconsin.
Tyrannina Brewing Company, Lake Mills, Wisconsin. 7.9%. We're cranking up the alcohol here a little bit now, getting into the 8% range.
Yeah, this beer and the next one are both barrel-aged, the only ones tonight.
And this one's aged in rye whiskey barrels.
This one smells amazing.
It is, and it's... So It's blended, and 60% of this is in rye whiskey barrels, and 40% they say is a malt beverage. So I guess they must age part of it in barrels and then blend it together.
I'm really smelling the malt.
I do too. I'm not getting booziness, which happens with barrel-aged beers. No booziness, just a nice, light, bready malt aroma, but not a whole lot there on the aroma.
So we were talking, sorry, Joel, we were talking about lacing on the last one. This one laces even more. It's crazy thick, tan, khaki head.
Pretty dark.
That sticks around.
It's very dark. Yeah, very dark. And you cannot see through this at all.
Is this the darkest beer tonight so far?
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
And like when you hold it up to the light, there's a little bit of redness in the glass, but it's a pretty dark brown color.
And it just smells, like we said, I think it smells amazing, but I'm not getting rye or whiskey or anything. It's more malty.
Wow.
I just had a sip and
wow.
That's a pretty amazing beer.
When you see whiskey barrels, you think there's going to be an alcoholic kick to it. Not the case. This is like the most reserved, smooth, creamy, well-balanced taste you could ever get.
It's got a very intense sweetness on the end that reminds me of drinking Coke. Like it's like a concentrated sweetness, and that's not a bad thing. Like,
yeah, but to even use the word Coke in the sentence to describe this beer, I feel like is an insult just because of how like buttery, whiskey, sweet, creamy this beer is. You're getting all of the whiskey without any of the harshness that comes after a whiskey taste.
No kick at all.
But it is there. Somehow they've captured the whiskey flavor without the whiskey kick, and it is impressive.
I think the thing that you said that's like perfect is buttery. It's buttery.
It's the carbonation too. It's like a buttery, creamy mouthfeel, but the carbonation on this beer is perfect. Mm-hmm. It's smooth. It's creamy. It's
whiskey creme brulee.
Yeah.
It is amazing.
Delicious.
Wow.
You know, you take a sip and you expect there to be some type of kick or some type of having to pay the price for it. You know, nothing. It's just perfectly drinkable. This is an amazing beer.
I think creme brulee is an excellent description because it's a little bit of chocolate, a little bit of caramel, a little creamy vanilla. It's a complex beer. Like you could draw a lot of different flavors from this, but it's just smooth and silky and just goes down easily for 7.9%.
Mm-hmm. I'm upset that there's only one of these beers that I'm going to have. We got to find this somehow.
So when I go back home, I got another one waiting for me because I got two of these and I brought one up here for this weekend. But yeah, this is excellent. Like there's some oaky woodiness to this. I mean, this is an awesome beer.
So this is the best. I will say it right now on the podcast. This is the best beer I've had this year besides probably 2x4 Melvin Double IPA because I like IPAs. But other than that, this is the best beer I've had this year.
I was excited to try this beer because I don't think I've had a rye porter before, and it did not disappoint me. Like, it is...
The rye is pretty subtle.
It is really
good.
Yeah, it's very subtle, but it's really good.
My complaint about this beer, and it's a pretty big complaint, it's called Dirty Old Man. There's nothing dirty about this beer.
No.
So, I mean, maybe a clean old man, but dirty, this doesn't ring true.
I don't want a clean old man.
But I don't get much rye. Like, when I think of a rye, you know, any beer with rye, I expect some, like, spiciness, a little bit of that on the bite, like a bite on the finish. And there does not appear to be any bit of that in here. I mean, this is smooth. Wow, this is... Excellent.
Really, really good. All right, let's move into the last beer of the night. We have from Aleworks in Williamsburg, Virginia, the brewer of the number one pumpkin beer of 2016 that we had on our pumpkin show. This is the Bourbon Barrel Porter. I misspelled bourbon on the sheet here. So forgive me.
Bourbon. Instead of bourbon.
9%. Whoo!
Boy, we really jumped up, didn't we?
Yeah. We were hovering around in the 5-6 range, and now we're up to 9.
Not going to complain about that.
Oh, man. This smells like a shot of alcohol.
Yes. Yes, it does. I don't know how else to describe the aroma other than thick.
Thick and...
It just smells thick.
Bourbon and molasses.
It smells like... You know,
on a hot summer day.
A lot of... This is a porter, but we've had a lot of bourbon barrel-aged stouts, and they all have that... The good ones have the woody, the oaky, a little bit of booziness in the aroma that
this
we look...
This one smells boozy.
A little bit.
I don't
not in a bad,
bad
way.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, not in a bad
you
way.
You want
not
that.
In a bad way.
Yeah, yeah.
If it's bourbon barrel, you want a little bourbon and barrel in your aroma.
I'm a bourbon drinker, and I want that.
This is as dark as the last beer we had. It probably has a little bit less of a leg. It's not as thick as the last beer we had.
Yeah, the lacing is a little bit thinner.
But still a very dark.
And the head is thinner.
Khaki brown. It's darker than khaki. It's a dark, light brown colored head.
I don't know how to describe the aroma other than it's like very slightly boozy, not in a bad way. And caramel malts.
Caramel malt and bourbon.
Yeah.
This is going to require the 3-sip rule because this is more alcoholic than the last any beer we've had tonight. So
yeah,
the first sip does have a little bit of that, whoo, you know?
Yeah, this is a problem because in its own category for what it is, I'm getting it. This is a very good beer. And I almost wish that we didn't have the beer we had before because I don't think we're going to give this beer justice because I've had a lot of bourbon barreled ales and stouts and porters, and this one is very good. And it's just a different type of flavor that we're getting than what we had in our previous
first
beer.
Sip. I've only taken one. First sip reminded me of port. It's pretty sweet.
There is a wine like element to this beer that's a little bit fruity.
Yes.
I get a little bit more wood and oak flavors than the last beer.
I think there's some grape in this.
Yeah, grape and fig
I'm really like it. And after I tasted it, I go back and smell it and it smells like port. A lot.
It's one of those beers where I take a sip and then instead of just gulping it down, I draw it into the back of my mouth, you know, slowly because I know it's strong.
It's like you create like a little
little vacuum,
little straw, and slowly bring it back.
Right.
Yep. Yeah.
The lingering taste is a port on your tongue after
really
you taste
it. It's really reminding me of port.
So what flavors are you guys getting? Because I'm getting
molasses,
a lot of molasses, a little bit of vanilla, a little bit of honey, but just barely any honey, and then a little bit of that grape flavor.
Yeah, on the aftertaste.
Some dark chocolate and some dark fruits.
Yep.
This is getting into that range where the bourbon barrel aged stout, which is a huge style we've had many, many of, and they range between 9% and 16%. It's a big 7% range of beer. And so this is at the lower end of that, but it does have a full flavor of all the flavors you expect for that style of beer. But at 9%, it seems to have a little bit more alcoholic presence than you would expect for 9% for this style.
Yeah, normally if I tasted this and I had to guess, this is going to be an 11 or 12%.
Yeah.
Because it just tastes and smells so much of alcohol.
Well, and I think that's where like the port part comes in. Like it seems like it's more on par with like a wine at 11 or 12%.
Or 17%.
Like it bites a little bit, not in a bad way, but it does bite. Like there's
a little bit,
a little boozy bite.
It makes you drink it slowly.
Mm-hmm. I mean, this is one of the beers that will age well. You could put this in your cellar, and 2 years from now, it's going to be just as good as, if not better, even more smooth, and just super drinkable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, a year or two, this would be phenomenal.
That's the good thing about this show tonight is that some of these beers we've had for a year, some of them we just got, some of them have been aged for a while, and you can't, there's nothing that stops you from storing these beers. Whereas the IPAs that we get, we're having to try and get drink them quickly because they change.
I've never had a bad beer from Ale Works in Williamsburg, Virginia. Only had two. Both were excellent.
Agreed. Man, that pumpkin beer, that was so good.
It makes me look forward to our next pumpkin beer podcast.
It makes me look forward to our next beer from Ale Works.
Mm-hmm.
Really, really good. All right, well, we've run the gamut here tonight with the porters. Jeff, you want to recap the beers we've had tonight, and we'll figure out what our favorite beer of the day is.
Yeah, so we had 9 beers tonight. We started out with the Mammoth Brewing Company Double Nut Brown, and then the Tioga Sequoia Brewing Company Sugar Pine Cocoa Vanilla Porter, and the Highland Brewing Company Oatmeal Porter. And right before the break, we had the Bootleggers Brewery Mint Chocolate Porter. After the break, our strange brew that wasn't that strange, but an excellent beer nonetheless, was the Pachamama Porter, which was brewed with sweet potatoes, purple maize, and ahi pancha chili peppers. Then the Infusion, a coffee porter from Hop and Frog in Ohio. Stubbs Old Crow Hazelnut Porter from Alameda Brewing Company. The Dirty Old Man Imperial Rye Porter from Tiranana Brewing Company. And we just wrapped up with the Ale Works Brewing Company Bourbon Barrel Porter.
All right, let's spin the wheel, see who goes first. And it is ladies first tonight.
Hey. So this whole show was my jam. I love porters and stouts. So all of these beers to me were good. I would drink any of them if given a choice. The decision is hard. I rated them all. And a lot of them are tied. But I'm going to have to choose the Dirty Old Man Imperial Rye Porter. It was excellent, and to steal Joel's words right out of his mouth, because I think he summarized it perfectly, it's buttery, and it's a whiskey creme brulee. It was amazing. The Infusion Coffee Porter by Hop and Frog was fantastic, and so was the Bourbon Barrel Porter from Ale Works, but I am choosing the Dirty Old Man.
All right. I'm glad I get to go second, because I don't like to sound like too broken of a record. But a lot of good beers on tonight's show. I tend to go to skew heavier, so obviously the second half of the show is probably where my beer is going to come from, although we did have several good ones on the first half. But I have to choose the Dirty Old Man Imperial Rye Porter. This beer, my God, it's perfection. It's so drinkable. It's smooth. It's great flavor. It's everything you want in a porter. Jokingly, I started off this show saying that we were going to find, our mission was to find the best, the greatest porter in the world.
World.
I think
world,
what I said. World. I think that'll be the title of the show. We might have found it.
Wow.
You know,
that's fantastic.
I didn't know that, you know, we had 9 beers from around the country, but I didn't think we had a possibility of finding the greatest porter in the world, but we might have stumbled upon it tonight. So that's my beer of the day.
So I agree with you guys, and Dirty Old Man was awesome. I rated 2 beers exactly the same, the Dirty Old Man and the Ale Works Bourbon Barrel Porter. Both were the two best beers tonight. And just to mix it up, I'm going to go with the Ale Works as my beer of the day. And I'm going to pick that one because it had a little heavier body. And I am a IPA drinker and a stout drinker. And this was the one that tasted most like a stout. And it had a little bit more of the barrel-aged flavor and a little boozier, which I like. But man, that Dirty Old Man was excellent. And I'm so tempted to pick that, but I'm going to go with the Ale Works to mix it up just so it's not a unanimous vote tonight, because both beers were phenomenal. So that's my pick, Bourbon Barrel Porter from Ale Works.
So there's no way in hell this is going to be a tie tonight. So there's four of us here. Two of us have already chosen Dirty Old Man, and I am choosing the Dirty Old Man for sure. It is the best beer I've had all year. I'm already trying to figure out how I can get more. And so when you're in a situation where all you want to do is share a beer with your friends and tell them how great this beer is and just hope that your friends can enjoy the moment that you just had, that says something about a beer. And so I will tell you that that is my beer of the day, and that should be the beer of the day, and that might be the beer of the year because of how great it was from a porter standpoint. So Dirty Old Man, I tip my hat to you, and I also tip my hat to Dallas and Jeff for finding these beers. Every single beer we had tonight mm-hmm. was amazing. There was not one bad beer that we had tonight.
Not at all.
So,
and I actually want to give a shout out to the Sugar Pine Cocoa Vanilla Porter too. That was a very close second or third runner up. Like, it was hard to make a decision. That beer was excellent for me.
Agreed. If we found the best beer of 2017, I mean, I hope that's not the case. I mean, it's going to be a long year. All right, well, that's going to close out the Porter Show. I'm glad we got some good ones to try. You never know what you're going to get. You got 9 beers, and we lucked out. We found some really good ones and a couple really good ones. So thank you for tuning in. Leave us your comments. Feedback at beerofthedaycom, or go to the website, leave your comments there. We're on Facebook. We're on Instagram. We're on Twitter. We want to hear from you. This show is much better when we have feedback from our listeners, so definitely leave us your comments. And we will see you in 2 weeks. For Jeff Miller, Joel Miner, Britton Miner, I'm Dallas Elliker. We'll see you next time right here on the Beer of the Day podcast.